This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
By the way, programming announcement. Whoop, whoop. We need some sort of a catchy sound effect. Programming announcement. Pudge's Pals. Launching Friday, Curtis. And I could not be more excited. We talked about this last week in honor of Curtis's best friend, Pudge, who passed away. What has it been, a month now, Curtis?
Yeah.
A month or so ago?
Yes. And
on Friday morning at 9, the Great Dog Rescue of New England will be here with a lovable pup who is looking for a forever home. And I know you people, you have proven to us over the last 5 years that you are the most caring and generous and loving audience that was ever assembled for a radio show. And I know that one of you, or several of you, will take in this loving dog who is just looking for a home on Friday morning. So,
I hope I get to hold it.
You can definitely hold the Pudge's Pal who will be with us on Friday morning.
And I did this under one condition.
Yes.
We only ask the phenomenal people from these rescue organizations about sports. So we ask, like, what the dog likes.
Okay. Yes.
Because I don't want to lose anybody.
We can absolutely do that.
No, I am so grateful for this. I think it's going to be great, and what a cool way to honor the legacy of the Pudge Man.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, and I can't wait. And I think over the period of time that we do this, we can find some incredible homes for some incredible dogs. So we will start that on Friday morning at 9. We're going to get to They Said It soon. That's a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. But my lead remains, and it's a little bit of my lead is for Wiggy, because he's a fan of the former husband of the woman that I am going to talk about. Lisa Marie Presley's memoir is out. She passed away a while ago, and when she was writing her memoir at the time that she passed away. So it was finished for her by her daughter. But there are a couple of things that are of interest in the memoir of the daughter of Elvis Presley, which is called From Here to the Great Unknown. The first being that when she met Michael Jackson, who she eventually married, he was 35 years old and he was a virgin.
Okay.
And so, Wiggy, you love Michael Jackson, love the music. And so I thought it was very interesting to learn that about Michael Jackson. The second thing, I just am curious about your opinion on it. She tragically lost her son, Benjamin Keough, and was so heartbroken by his passing that she kept his body in her home for 2 months.
Wow.
After his death.
Jesus.
Which apparently is legal in the state that they lived in. However, I mean,
she keep him in like a freezer?
In bed.
Oh,
what?
Damn. Bed in her home. She even brought a tattoo artist in to see him so that she could get a matching tattoo done for a tattoo that he had. Now, I mean, who knows how we would all deal with grief?
Yeah, that one's
not that way. I don't think.
Like, what do you do if you're having house guests? I mean, do you just say, "Hey,
stay out of the kids' room," or maybe you show it off? I mean, she might have been like at that point where she was like, you know, kind of trying to keep his memory alive.
My
biggest concern is I'm no doctor, but how long before like the decompositions
pretty quickly, I think.
Well,
I don't know.
Apparently, she had a friendly. She found a friendly funeral home.
Okay.
That prepared the body and then brought it back to her.
Okay.
So they like.
So that it could. So he could be there.
Okay.
In bed.
So it wasn't like he died in bed and she just didn't move.
No.
Him. Okay. Right.
No, but she had the body brought back there.
Prepared. It's like, so okay. like they probably took everything out.
Yes.
Is that what they did?
Yeah.
Did the autopsy?
Embalming?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe embalming or something like that.
I mean, I don't know how many. How many scented candles would be required
you would need a lot.
For that kind of scenario?
You would need a lot. Why?
I get nauseous going into a funeral home from like the smell and probably the thought of it all. Like, I can't imagine it being my house.
Unless she, like, if she sent him.
That is terrifying.
To this funeral home. Do you think she, like, maybe set up the room so it was, like, always at a. It was like a cooled room, so it was almost like a freezer type.
Right, maybe they had to keep the entire house cold or something like that.
That is strange. It's like Teddy Ballgames kit. Doesn't he have them on ice?
Yeah. But I really don't
cryogenically frozen.
I really don't want to just pass over the 35-year-old virgin part of this whole thing.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Like, that's just a guy saying, like, oh, I've never had sex with anybody before you, right? Like, Michael Jackson wasn't a virgin at 35.
That's what she said.
I think he probably was.
He was.
He was very childlike.
Yeah.
Like, he never had a childhood, so as an adult, he was very childlike.
Maybe he did. Who the hell knows?
Even in the actual funeral where the body is not in your bed with the casket open, maybe it's just me or it's generational. I find it to be so strange.
I can't go. I mean, I can and I have.
Mm-hmm.
Gone to a service in which it is an open casket, but
Of them are, you know.
But it's really difficult to do. Yeah. I don't know why.
Like, that person is not. I mean, they're with you,
right.
But like I just don't understand. Maybe as I said,
it's in a lot of people's will if they want an open casket.
Oh, of course, and if it's what the person wants, like right. That's.
But I guess in that moment, like, your emotions are so like different. Like, I know when my mother passed away, she was in my house. Literally took her last breath in my arms, and then you have to wait for the funeral people to come get the body. So, you know, there's a time there you're able to kind of sit there with, you know, obviously a lifeless body.
Yeah.
And but you still view that person
right.
as you're in such shock of losing your.
But not 2 months.
Yeah, not 2 months.
Like, not going in and tucking him into bed at night.
Yes.
For 2 months.
No, not 2 months. I mean, maybe, you know, like a day or two. And, you know, my case, I would have been like, oh, you know. But yeah, 2 months is a long, long time. Because then you don't get no. You don't get. They don't speak. They're just like.
Santo just texts me. This is grotesque.
Yeah.
It's life.
I apologize to those who are eating, but it's life. It's
a lot of people have open caskets.
Oh, yeah, not the open casket part. The fact that she kept him in his bed for 2 months.
Well, that's why when I saw the news yesterday, I was intrigued by it because I don't know that I could do that. I mean, again, you don't know. Losing a child is the worst possible thing that could ever happen to anybody. Oh. So you don't know how you would react.
Right.
Don't some cultures, some religions, though... They keep the body in the house and people come and for like a week or something.
Maybe.
I think that there is a culture or religion where they take the body, they prepare the body, but they put it back in the house and
they do.
Everybody sleeps.
Maybe they don't.
Under the same roof as.
Oh, really?
I believe so. Uh-huh. So maybe it was a religious thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think she was a Scientologist. So.
Oh, that's a whole nother.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, those are our leads. Shine, we should probably do They Said It at 7:20.
That's fine, Greg.
Is that okay?
That's totally okay. I am amenable to everything today.
Okay. All right. We will get to They Said It coming up shortly. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this moment?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins dropped game one of the season after watching the Florida Panthers raise their Stanley Cup banner. Korpisalo was in goal for this one. He had 29 saves in the 6-4 loss to the Panthers, but Jim Montgomery had his back.
Korpisalo was not a problem tonight. It was the people in front of him. You can't give up 4 backdoor tap-ins and expect your goalie to make save after save. He made a lot of saves on breakaways. He was good tonight. You know, the players in front of him, the rest of the team, and the coaching staff, we weren't good enough.
So there you go.
It's going to be interesting. You know, we won't overreact, but they just, We asked the question yesterday, is this team good enough to win a cup? Did they have enough talent? Sham, I think you said yes. Greg, you were no. So it's going to be interesting to see what direction.
Well, was it PK Subban that you sent over in the group chat saying that he is picking the Bruins to get to the Stanley Cup final?
So I ask you, I propose this question to the room. What's more likely in your opinion? The Bruins make the Stanley Cup final or Jim Montgomery loses his job?
Jim Montgomery loses his job.
I agree.
I think that is more likely. But if you get a great season from Jeremy Swayman, you add, I mean, the only thing you're really missing is
the hug.
No, is like the addition when it comes to your top six, you really needed one more guy.
Right.
I just don't know.
Because how comfortable are you, and Greg, you've been on this hill, you and Milbury. How comfortable are you with, it looks like it's going to be Bergeron? Oh, no, excuse me, Marchand.
Oh, I thought you had
Sorry about
that. Is this a Courtney bomb?
Yeah, no, this
was a Coco bomb. No.
They keep Bergeron's body for a while.
The Marchand line. What is it? Was it Marchand, Coyle, and Geeky last night? Sorry. But how comfortable are you with that line?
I mean,
I don't know.
It depends on what Brad Marchand is.
With the center,
surgeries.
Like, you know, because wasn't it Milbury said they Coyle's a third line sentiment?
It was Mike Milbury who said that. I'll tell you what I would love, Chime, is to go, and it's going to cost you $7 or $8 million a year, maybe more, but to go and get Verhaeghe because he is available after this season, and I don't think they're going to be able to pay everybody.
Cap goes up, Marchand's contract comes off the books. You're going to have money next year. So.
What, Wiggy?
Yeah, he signed an 8-year deal.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
No, he
after
didn't.
Last
He's
night's
a free
game.
Agent. Oh, after the game last
yes.
night?
Yep, after last
night.
Really?
He did it after the game last night?
Carter Verhaeghe, Panthers agreed to 8-year, $56 million.
Oh,
the
God.
Deal, because I read that this morning,
oh,
and the deal was
God.
Done.
Oh,
there you go,
All
Greg.
Right.
You're not getting that.
Jeez.
It's extended him. Verhaeghe in his final year extended last night, I guess, after the Florida victory.
All right. Never mind.
All right, well, the big news, Drake May is going to be the guy against the Texans this weekend. Ian Rappaport had the scoop. He took to X to say the future is now in New England. Sources say the Patriots are planning to start Drake May against the Texans. The first start for the number 3 overall pick, Jacoby Brissett, who started the first 5 games, heads to the bench. And in New York, Robert Sala is out as head coach. Jeff Ulbrich will serve as the interim head coach. And the severance package for Robert Sala is pretty good. $20,000 per day from the New York Jets for the next 2 years. That's $583,333 per month.
Five coaches in 10 years. That is Woody Johnson's Jets.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, but totally believable. I mean,
so what happened? Like, basically,
they were going to fire Hackett, which is
Rodgers.
Were they
going to fire him? Or, yep. Like, I saw that Sala was just going to have somebody else do the play call.
Well, that's his job.
Yeah.
So,
and Aaron Rodgers is like, no, you're not firing my guy.
Right.
And called Woody Johnson and said, you're firing Robert Sala.
That is correct. And Woody Johnson, did you see, I think Pro Football Talk found it, that in the stories on the Jets website, Woody Johnson refers to himself, or has the writers he pays refer to him as Ambassador Johnson.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Which is almost as good as chairman. I don't know which I'd rather.
You think Bill will respond to him in that way next year as the head coach?
And by the way, the odds are out for the next coach next season. Belichick isn't in the top 8 for the Jets. So I think that has much more to do with the perceived animosity between Bill and the organization than his actual fit.
All right. I told you, I think Bill lands there. It should be interesting to see.
Yeah. And you got to try the 99 Restaurant's new $14.99 big meal deals. 4 hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday, like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin. You got to love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Just a heads up for Sunday, if you're heading to Gillette Stadium to see the future finally take the field, a little brisk. 60s, low 60s, partly cloudy skies, but dry, so that should be fine. Right now, 47 and partly cloudy in Boston, 62 degrees, the afternoon high.
Isn't Saturday going to be like 70, though, Curtis?
It's going to be sunny, abundant sunshine, right around 70, a little bit of a sea breeze. The ocean's chilly around here, so it'll make it cooler, but inland you'll be in the 70s.
Ooh, I'm hoping maybe a trip to Salem. on Saturday.
Oh, you know what? On a beautiful Saturday in October, it'll be empty.
No, stay away from that, Courtney.
No, I think that would be fun.
Unless Courtney, pop over to the cidery they have over there, far from the tree. Highly recommend.
Do you feel like sitting in 2 hours of traffic?
Not really.
Well, then guess what?
We're running out of weekends before Halloween.
Right. You got to do all the fall things.
Yeah.
Don't do it, Courtney. I've done that before living on the North Shore. Stay away from Salem all of October.
You and Santo should probably leave now.
Right.
I need to find a way to sneak into Sunday's game is what I need to do.
I don't think you have to sneak in. Just walk in.
Yeah,
they'll just let people in.
I mean, Charm, it's not like, what do you think, tickets are suddenly unavailable because of Drake?
No, like, there's tickets, but I just, you know, I'm cheap and frugal.
Ask Ken.
Yeah.
No, I don't like to ask things of people.
I'll see if you can go with my dad. He'll go.
I'd be happy to go with Curtis's dad. It sounds like a great time.
Perfect.
Oh. All right.
Well, I think it's my sister's birthday, and he's taking her, but I can easily kick her out. You can do it.
She probably has a swim meet to go to.
If you go with Curtis's father, he pays for everything.
Everything.
That is true.
Even your ride home. It's
hell,
great.
I'll pay for the first round of drinks. It's on me.
Oh, don't even. I mean, John will not tolerate that.
Which would you guess would cost more? A trip to see the New England Patriots. Let's say a family of four, New England Patriots on Sunday. Or Wiggy's daughter's wedding. I'm guessing, based on the way Wiggy's talking about it, it would be the trip for four to see the Patriots on Sunday.
And Greg, question, has anybody ever hosted morning and afternoon drive?
Yes. I don't know about that.
Because Wiggy can double the income, you know, if he needs to add a salary before the wedding.
Okay.
Maybe I pick up the phone and I call Robert Kraft, like, hey, Robert, you're a great guy. What's the house situation on? Don't you have a giant house on Nantucket?
Uh-huh.
Is it going to be available on this date?
Well, you could get a little extra cash if the idea that I heard about in Newport comes to fruition.
Ooh.
I don't think we talked about this on the show yet.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear
but
about this.
Mrs. Wiggins and Lindsay, and I guess we would probably throw Santo in there. Want to do a weekly podcast with their thoughts on what has been discussed on the show about them and others every week.
I think that's a great idea.
Would you be down with that? A kind of a response podcast to what has come up on the radio show?
Yeah.
Like the Real Housewives of WEI?
Yes, that's what it would be. Those programs are very, very, very popular.
Well, as long as everybody has thick skin.
What?
Because what if there's some criticism being thrown people's way?
By our significant others?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they deserve to have a platform with what they go through every day.
That's my point. You better have some thick skin, Courtney,
Santo understands what's appropriate.
Oh, that ain't going to work then.
All right. When we come back, we will get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And where should we begin this morning, Sean?
Well, Greg, our Bruins last night struggled a bit. They lost to the Florida Panthers 6-4. One of the guys, though, who was willing to throw down was Trent Frederick. He tried to go with Matthew Tkachuk. That didn't end up working out. And it was apparently Tkachuk's fault. Here is what Trent Frederick said after the game.
You went right at Tkachuk right at the start of the game. Get the gloves on. Were you surprised that he took that route?
Because he said yeah, and he didn't. So it's kind of hard when someone says. He actually asked me because I was asking him, and he didn't. So it's hard to read that. But
he was trying to suck you into dropping the gloves, or?
Yeah, I guess. I didn't know people did that. I think that's kind of, it's a little disrespectful to the game.
he's annoying.
Tkachuk is such a coward. I hate him.
He was jawing with Pasternak last night, trying to get him. I don't know what he wants. I mean, and it's not like the Bruins were backing down. It's not like those guys were backing down. Like, he's, you know, aggressive and mm-hmm. Full hardo trying to get guys to go, and then he doesn't go with them.
Yeah, he's... He's not ready for that.
It feels similar to when the Patriots just constantly dominated the Steelers
right.
with Tom Brady. Like, they just, in every situation, they just owned the Steelers. And, like, I just feel like Florida owns the Bruins right now.
They
and
do.
It's not a great feeling.
I was in such a hockey mood after the game, and I ended up turning on Youngblood. That's how much of a hockey mood I was in.
Well, I mean,
could have watched Utah Hockey Club.
I know. How about that, huh? That was pretty cool.
Yeah. I expected that the first period, the Panthers were going to be fired up about the banner, but I didn't. The Bruins were never really in that game. Every time they got a couple goals away from them, they let them score another one.
I thought it was nice. Did you see the Panthers? They gave each of the six people that went to their Stanley Cup parade a ring.
But Greg, like I thought the Bruins had momentum, right? Like after they scored the shorthanded goal, made it 2-1. I was like, okay, here we go. Now we're gonna have a hockey game. And then Korpisalo let in that easy one, and it was all over.
Well, that's because didn't McAvoy get blown by on that?
Well, McAvoy took the body like he's supposed to, and Korpisalo came off his line. Like that was an easy save.
Yeah, but in that situation, I get the save should have been easy, but you're not supposed to let a guy get a shot off when you have a good angle.
He barely was able to flick it at the net.
Yeah, come on.
Also, and I said it earlier, but those of us who have played intense over 40 hockey action like I did for decades in Westboro know that somebody runs your goaltender.
Yep.
And you're Brandon Carlo. You don't stand there looking for a call.
Right.
You go and you do whatever you possibly can physically to Bennett. And like the fact that he's
mitts. Greg loved doing that.
Curtis, you dropped the mitts, am I right?
I mean, you got to throw. I mean, if you're going to touch my tender, I'm going to go and touch you.
Right. Your mitts were small, but you'd throw them.
He's standing there with his arms out looking for a call from the ref.
But that's Carlo. Isn't that him? He's never been that kind of an enforcer.
It doesn't matter, though. Like,
that's why they went and got Zadorov.
Right.
It's your goaltender, though. Yeah. That should
maybe
be
he
your
thought
first...
Korpisalo sucked, and he said, maybe you're helping us.
No doubt in my mind that Greg's the guy on the ice who's like, hold me back.
Totally.
No one is.
You're lucky I'm wearing glasses.
Well, at least he's showing that, but I think that's what Greg's saying.
Greg had to get
you
back.
You got to show that a little bit, you know what I mean?
Unfortunately, I did have to wear my glasses on the ice.
Did you ever get into a fight on the ice? As a
100%.
Former
no way.
Bear League player?
Yes, of course I did.
There is not
a not a yelling fight.
I guarantee you that Jay Riley... or any of those guys that played with me on...
He can only name one.
I don't even think I can say the name of our hockey club on the air.
All right.
Oh, well,
I think I've said it before, but it's probably inappropriate. Any of those guys will call and tell you that I would throw when necessary.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
Uh-huh. There's I mean, not a chance in hell.
That also has a over a 40 Bear League hockey player. There are a lot of fights that generally happen. So I've never gotten one.
I could picture Jay Riley getting in one, but Greg the Enforcer Hill.
Oh, that's pretty impressive, Greg.
Yeah.
Well, credit for that.
I was the rare animal that is a goon.
Oh, and a player.
And got some points.
They don't make those no more.
Put the puck in the net.
Yeah, they don't make those no more.
I would camp out right. I would just like Cam Neely. You know how Cam Neely, he used to call it his office right in front of the goaltender, right in front of the net?
Yeah.
I called it the same thing, my office.
And I bet you did.
Did you think Cam took it from you?
Probably.
Yeah.
All right, what's next, Shime?
Next, let's pivot over to football. So yesterday, Adam Schefter was on with WEEI's afternoon show with Arcan and Hart and was asked about if Bill Belichick would be interested in the Jets job, if the Jets would be interested in Bill Belichick. I know Wiggy has believed for months now that Belichick could end up as the Jets head coach. Here is what Adam Schefter said about that.
Bill Belichick's name is going to come up, and it's going to come up with most any place that has a head coach opening. So the first one to open this year is the New York Jets. I don't think that's how the Jets are thinking today, but where the Jets go at the end of the season, I think will be largely determined by the success that Jeff Ulbrich as the interim head coach. Also, I think he's going to be pretty selective about where he does and doesn't go. And I don't know how willing he would or wouldn't be to go to the Jets. I don't know if that's an organization that when he looks to get back in, that he's thinking, there's the spot I want to go to. A team that has struggled to win, a team that's been unstable, a team that I resigned from before, a team that doesn't have a quarterback. But do you think that that would be his number one option? I don't know.
Mm. So he is saying, I couldn't hear it, but he's saying
that the plane guy was talking over him at the end there.
The Jets are not his number one option?
Correct, because they don't have a – he specifically says they don't have a quarterback, assuming Aaron Rodgers might be done sooner than we think, maybe, question mark, and that it's an organization that he's already been a part of before and then left immediately.
But I mean, Bill only needs like 13 wins, right? Is that the number?
I think it's 15.
Yeah, 13, 14, or 15.
So it's two seasons. I
right. At least.
Two seasons. That's
depending on what team he joins, yeah.
Okay, but if he joins the Jets and Aaron Rodgers is there for two seasons, they get 8 wins a season.
All day long. And here's the thing about the Jets. We look at and we go, their defense is good. They got talent on defense. They got offensive skill players. And then, and Rodgers get it. He's getting older. But Bill has said before, even, or at least the reports were, whoever wrote the, Michael Hawley wrote a book. Was it Michael Hawley wrote the book where Bill said, okay, I can win with top 15.
That was Ian O'Connor. But.
Ian O'Connor, right? I can win with a top 15 quarterback. What would be the best place to stick it to the Patriots?
Ugh. The New York Jets.
Right.
Or the Buffalo Bills.
Right. So to set, and I think we all think, like, we all been around these guys. We know they're all petty. You don't think Bill might look and go, oh, I could go to the Jets, have a legitimate chance of winning, and stick it to the Patriots after the dynasty?
I think you would love that.
Oh, would love that. Would absolutely love that.
Anything else, Shime?
Yeah, I got one more for you here. So yesterday it was reported by Adam Schefter and Rap Sheet and others that Drake May would get the start on Sunday for the New England Patriots, officially May Day. Well, there's one guy who stands firm that this is not a good idea. Wiggy's favorite guy, Dan Orlovsky, doesn't like this. Here is what Orlovsky said yesterday.
Absolutely not. This is a bad decision in New England. One, their offensive line is the worst pass-blocking offensive line in the NFL. Right now, it is the worst. Jacoby Brissett, who has been their starting quarterback, listen to this. He has been pressured on 47% of his drop-back passes. That 47% is the highest number for a quarterback since 2006. You want to take a rookie quarterback and set him up to struggle, put him behind this New England offensive line. On top of that, it's a bottom probably 5 or 6 group wide receiver-wise when it comes to getting open. Okay, so you guys know me. There's a couple things I always say. Young quarterbacks need to go play well and survive. They need to have a really good scheme and play caller. Alex Van Pelt, I like his scheme. There's been moments when he's shown to be a good play caller. Still unknown. Really good offensive line, really good skill players. Again, New England has at least 2 of those 3 missing. This is not the right choice.
Sorry, Dan. Rookie quarterbacks generally go to bad teams.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's how the draft works. So, and that offensive line, like, would you not say that that combo that they used last week looked much better than it has?
It looked far better. And, Greg, I would like to clarify some of these pressure numbers because people just keep throwing them at you like it is all the offensive line's fault. Not the case. Phil Perry did a really good job of this. He charted all of the 18 pressures that happened on the 37 dropbacks this past Sunday. 9 of them happened in under 2.5 seconds. So half of them happened in under 2.5 seconds. But more than half of them happened in 3-plus seconds. Just about half of them happened in 3-plus seconds, which a lot of those plays, like Mark Sanchez aptly pointed out on the very first sack of the game, Jacoby Brissett's supposed to have the ball out. Like, it's supposed to be a quick drop back, one read, get the ball out, and he doesn't do it. He holds on to the football. So these pressure numbers are a mirage. They make it seem like this offensive line is the worst in football, when in reality, your quarterback holds on to the ball too damn long.
And, Shime, for those of us who don't do 17 mocks.
Yeah, of course.
Primary advantage when it comes to Drake May v. Jacoby Brissett. Is it his ability to scramble and run? Is it his arm strength? What are the differences that make you have made you so enamored with Drake May?
I mean, his athleticism is far superior to that of Jacoby Brissett's. His arm talent is like worlds beyond what Jacoby Brissett is. And I think he also is a quick processor. Like, I think he understands it. So when he sees, okay, I have one read, hit my back foot, the ball can come out. He also is not afraid to sling the rock. Like, he will throw it down the field, down the sidelines. He will take chances that Jacoby Brissett will never take. And sometimes,
how many interceptions do you think he has on Sunday?
I think he'll probably have one.
Oh,
I don't think he had. It's not like some 3-interception game, but I mean, I think there's a chance he probably has one.
Selfishly, I am so happy because no matter what, we got a topic. Either May's great and we're off and running, we're cooking, or he sucks and Shime is back in the cheese wheel.
Oh, but he sucks, though, we're gonna give him. We'll give him, no pun intended. We'll give him a pass.
Yeah, but we're gonna S on Shime.
Like, Caleb Williams looked like he was swimming in the deepest water possible in week one, but by week three, week four, he has looked really, really good. And I kind of expect the same thing with Drake May, which is why I wish they started this process weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They should have had Drake May in there earlier, because by now he'd be humming on all cylinders.
Is this right? Texter says Brady, Burrows, Matt Stafford all sacked more than 100 times in their first 50 games. Pretty good careers, in my opinion.
Yeah, Drew Bledsoe got his butt kicked the first season.
Well, that's why I said Caleb Williams has been sacked 17 times. And Jacoby Brissett has been sacked 17 times. And I never hear Dan Orlowski saying, oh, you shouldn't play Caleb Williams
because
he's getting killed out there.
No, it's the right thing to do.
Of course it is.
And it's been the plan all along.
Absolutely. I've looked at the plan. I mean, this is exactly it.
The plan has been activated. It's May Day. And we're going to get to Courtney and to today's news next. Apparently, science has determined what the average adult's body count is. And apparently, you are all a bunch of horned-up floozies. So we will get to that next. Tomorrow on this show, Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football at 6:45. And Friday, Jelani Tavai of the New England Patriots on a Patriots Friday at 7:30. Before we get to the news, this is Walter on Drake May. It is May Day. Hello, Walter.
Hey, good morning, guys. I agree with Sean, because like, I'm a Florida State fan, except for this year, really. But this kid's probably going to have a top five like strength of arm in the league. And it's like, the Patriots need to get speed on the field, because he can throw it anywhere on the field. It's just, I just don't want to hear anybody comparing his first start to Mac Jones, because he's playing behind like two tackles who wouldn't start on the old Boston Breakers semi-pro team. So I just hope everybody gives the kid a chance, because he's going to struggle, like you guys said, like Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
But you're going to see some throws in this game we haven't seen in a while, because this kid can really throw the football.
Is Orlovsky at least correct when he suggests that there may be an issue with Drake May and Alex Van Pelt, and that Alex Van Pelt is going to need to adjust his game plan for Drake May? I mean, he shares some of the blame on where this offense is after 5 weeks.
I don't go with anything Orlovsky says about this Patriots team, because he was the guy that was Mac Jones, the insider for Mac Jones. He was the guy that was texting Mac Jones. He was the issue that I believe that Bill Belichick had with Mac going elsewhere and giving, you know, inside challenges to a member of the media and Dan Orlovsky. Like, I don't trust anything he says about this organization, because I think he has it out for the Patriots.
And I would just add this, and I don't mean for the shrapnel to hit Shime the way it's about to, but I view Orlovsky's opinion on quarterbacks the same way I do Shime's on mashed potatoes. If Shime thinks they're good, they're probably bad. So when Orlovsky thinks the quarterback idea is a bad idea, I think because he sucked at it, it's a good idea.
Yeah,
and statistically, you can find statistics. I'm looking on, and I'm no football guy, this Sharp football analysis. I don't know if
you're
Sharp.
I think you're a big football guy.
Right? And so,
head coach,
you just sounded like Kamala Harris there when you said, statistically, you can find statistics.
Wait, is there another answer that we're going to edit and re-air?
No.
And statistics are statistics.
So He has on his website.
That's funny. I grew up in a town that had a football.
He has on his website this, you know, different stats for
very smart guy
pass protection, and one of the stats is time to sack. Right, so yeah. I guess that must mean how much time before the quarterback gets sacked. The Patriots, I don't know how true this is, they are third when it comes to time to sack, in meaning best time that they have to sack at 6.1, where the 49ers is 6.5 and the Broncos is 6.2.
Well, this leads into the
who the hell knows what that means, but I'm just saying.
This plays into the stat I had last week, Wiggy, where Jacoby Brissett had the eighth highest time to throw in football. And it's like everybody on the planet is like, oh, the pressure numbers, though. The pressure numbers. Yeah. It's because Jacoby Brissett holds on to the football, people. Yeah. Like, just watch.
All right. Well, Drake May will finally be your starter on Sunday. You can talk about that all day long right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
It's time for...
Before Trump got out of office, it would, I only had to put $10 in my truck, go back and forth to work.
The news.
And then prices on beer goes up. And hey, that's the working man's Gatorade right there.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
As it should be, too.
Of course.
Especially at this... in this economy.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with five locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
What does the economy have to do with increased security at the Olympics, if you really want me to ask?
It heightens emotions.
On WEEI.
What do you think they would say?
Well, we talked about it already this morning, but Hurricane Milton is making landfall this evening on the Tampa Bay coast. Joe C., who's been nicknamed Lieutenant Dan, he's gone viral on TikTok. He lives on a 20-foot boat in Tampa, in the Tampa Bay. He is refusing to get off.
I don't understand this. Like, the mayor of Tampa said, and I quote, "If you stay, you will die."
Mm-hmm.
And yet people stay.
Correct.
I mean, I guess maybe they have no place to go.
There are a lot of people that don't have the means to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Dan is basically saying, you know, I'm on a boat. I will rise with the tides.
Okay.
We can hear a bit from Lieutenant Dan.
They're saying 20-foot storm surge.
Eh, it could be 120. It doesn't matter. The boat floats. That's the whole thing. Keep the water on the outside of the boat, and the boat will go up with the water and down with the water. That's what we want to do.
Can we please get you into a hotel?
No. Listen, the only way I'm going to go to a motel room is if a woman invites me and she's going to stay. That's the only thing I'd give the boat up for is a girl.
A girl. A Jenny. For a girl. Even with the 150-mile-an-hour winds.
You know what? I ain't worried about that. See this tattoo right here? IGY6. I got you six. I got your back. Because God's got mine. So if I say I got you, I got you. And if I got you, God got you. What am I going to fear? Dying? My only fear is waking up tomorrow broke.
All right. Thoughts and prayers to Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
Hey, he's a soldier. He says
he's a real American.
He is.
He's going to stay there, and he's going to save his boat.
Right,
I love it. All right.
Should have sent him a girl at the motel. He would have been gone.
It's going to be, so maybe perhaps the worst hurricane in 100 years is what they are forecasting anyway.
Yeah, and Greg brought up a weather report, a local weather report where they kind of GI behind the weatherman about the storm surge and what it will look like.
GI Bill.
Well, you could say CGI.
CGI.
GI would be a gastrointestinal thing.
Right.
Which,
yeah.
I know you suffer from.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
It was on the mind, top of mind.
Yes.
It just popped up online for me. If you have the chance to Google it, it's very scary to watch.
Yeah.
President Biden spoke yesterday from the White House in a press conference about Hurricane Milton. And while Kamala Harris was on The View.
Oh, wait. Hold on. He had another press conference while she was doing a big interview on television.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. She's been everywhere, whether it's Call Her Daddy, The View, Howard Stern.
Yeah.
He said that Governor DeSantis and he have been in constant communication, and he even praises the governor of Florida. We could hear a bit of what President Biden had to say.
The governor of Florida has been cooperative. He said he's gotten all that he needs. I talked to him again yesterday. And I said, whatever. I said, no, you're doing a great job. It's being done well. We thank you for it. And I literally gave my personal phone number to call. So I don't know. There was a rough start in some places, but every governor from Florida to North Carolina has been fully cooperative and supportive and acknowledged what this team is doing. And they're doing an incredible job. But we got a lot more to do.
All right, he's got the number for the BlackBerry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If he needs to reach, or the flip, yep. whatever the president is currently
strikes
using.
Strikes me as a flip phone guy.
Very interesting by President Biden, especially considering the manner in which he was forced out of the race, the decision to do these press conferences and address things that seem pretty on point about things that the Democrat candidate for president is being criticized for.
Yeah. Well,
also, good news breaking, Milton is now a Category 4.
You keep saying that.
I didn't. It just happened 3 minutes ago.
Said yesterday that it was switching to a Category 4, and then they're saying
well,
they
so we should just tell it. We should say it's a Category 5 when it's not a Category 5.
There are people saying they need a Category 6 for this baby when it makes landfall.
But that's what I'm telling
it's changed.
You. When it makes landfall, it's going to continue to weaken today. But all week they tell you a Category 5. It's not actually a Category 5 when it hits land.
I hope it continues to weaken.
Yes. All right.
Why is that? I don't even understand how that's
like, I got you, Curtis.
That's why the media is this panic porn where we have everybody. We're telling something it isn't. So you think it's something else related to something that has nothing to do with it in the first place.
So Cat 4... highest wins. What are we
looking
at versus
five? 140.
140. Okay.
Awful. It's
Cat
be
five. What's highest wins?
160.
Oh, whoo! 20 more miles an hour. That can really do some damage.
The important thing about that Biden cut is that it does contradict what Kamala Harris had to say the day before on Monday when she spoke about DeSantis not wanting to take her phone calls. Here's what she had to say.
You know, moments of crisis, if nothing else, should really be the moment that anyone who calls themselves a leader says they're going to put politics aside and put the people first. People are in desperate need of support right now, and playing political games at this moment in these crisis situations, these are the height of emergency situations, is just utterly irresponsible, and it is selfish, and it is about political gamesmanship instead of doing the job that you took an oath to do, which is to put the people first.
No, I mean, it seems like he is responding to the president.
Yes. Right.
Not the vice president.
Does she think she's already the president when she's calling, or maybe that's the issue?
Yeah, well, maybe he's busy.
Maybe she didn't give her personal number to Governor Ron DeSantis. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope most everybody was able to get out of there. It is going to be bad, and it's later on this evening is when that will make landfall, right?
Yep.
All right.
And they're saying to fill up your bathtubs, fill up, because if you lose power and you lose water, you need to have some fresh water to be able to use.
All right. Rest of the news with Courtney coming up next.